All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been blessed this morning, shout another amen.
Amen.
If you have been challenged this morning, give me another amen.
Amen.
Indeed, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Yeah, what I want is since I just wanted to read out two topics I'm supposed to be teaching. The first one is titled Success is Who You Are, and the second one is Character is All You Need. And I want to take both of them combined today. I began yesterday by talking about the importance of the Word of God, that until we understand it, we cannot use it effectively in our lives. We will not comply with it effectively. I will not be effective ministers and missionaries and business people, whatever we are in life, if we don't understand that word effectively. And that's what I said yesterday by explaining the fact that the Word of God is the gospel of Jesus, more like, is the power of God. And what that means is that it is by it that God is solving the problems of this earth. It is by the gospel. And like we're hearing earlier, you go to certain places, and the story you were telling us was, which year, sir? The one about this albino girl. Just about 2 years ago. Some people had never heard that it's possible, that it's possible for some people to live a normal life, even though they don't look like you. Or if you give birth to a set of twins, they can be normal people. That is, they are never heard. It's not as if they are evil in their hearts. I don't know whether you get to my point. They had never heard that that's a possibility. Listen, the only way by which God will solve all those problems is by the entrance of His gospel. You were saying something earlier about Islamic areas, which most of these places are predominantly, and how one man ran to you having had a dream. You know, when I was coming to Onitsha yesterday, I knew I would stay till tomorrow. So I said, okay, when I'm not doing anything, what will I be doing? So I came with my computer. I said, okay, let me pick books I'm going to read. So I picked a book again. I don't know whether I dropped it or not. I bought this book early on in the year. Was it late last year? I was watching a program on TV, Christian TV. I've forgotten which of the channels now. But Oma was now talking about what God is doing in where most of us think God is not doing anything, like Saudi Arabia, you know, Kuwait, those kind of places. So how God was meeting people through dreams and visions. So they now advertised the book, that the man wrote. So I quickly ordered it, you know, I ordered it online and then had it delivered to my friend's house in the U.S. So they now sent it down to me. I brought the book. And if I brought it, it would be nice for you to read it. I'm not sure I came with it, but I was looking at my bag. How many days are you saying? How many things are you going to read? So I don't know whether I dropped it. But it's a book I share with people a lot. In fact, a friend of mine just returned it not too long ago. Because you'll be amazed that, like you said, God is already in Nineveh. Jonah is somewhere else. He doesn't realize that God is actually there. There are places. There was one man, he was kidnapped. It's a preacher. He was in Egypt. He was kidnapped by a gunman, an Islamic militant, an Al-Qaeda member, you will assume. The man was sleeping, somebody just broke his door down, cocked a gun, put it to his head, get up. Now, if you were the one, but this story I've told you now, what would you think? This man is dead. He's a preacher. He used to teach, was a teacher of the word. I don't know whether I was a pastor in that area, but they knew him. So one day night he was sleeping, they broke his door, put a gun to his head, told him to get up. So he got up. The man who came to kidnap him carried him to a far place, jumped through a fence, threw him over a wall, whatever it is. Finally, he got into a hall that was locked. Oh, but at that time, he blindfolded him, dragged him everywhere, now made him sit down. After that, I think they put on the light, removed his blindfold, and he saw all the imams gathered. They said, sorry, that we had to kidnap you. That is the only way we can hear what you have to say. If you come during the day, trouble. So they went to kidnap him. He thought he was dead. He saw them, plenty of them. You know, some real clerics. They sat in a circle. They put him in the center. Please begin to preach. You know, in a hidden place. Nobody knew apart from them and the man who went to bring him. Modern day story, not story of 1922. Another man, he was walking on the road in the market. One woman saw him. Hey, you. So he looked and ran. So the woman started pursuing. This, not physical running, but he was dodging. It was a marketplace. The woman kept on following him. Finally, the woman caught up with him. You, I know you. He looked, he's a Christian. Ah. You know, see one woman with, you know, covering and all of that. Where did you know me? He said, I see you in my dreams all the time. Ah. He said, there's a man who used to come to her dreams. And the man said, so that she could hear the other things she's supposed to hear, that she will introduce him to his friend. And that friend was that man she saw in the market. So the man introduced you to me in the dream, that when I see you, you will talk to me. So the man understood. That was not his first experience. He had that kind of experience with somebody else before. So they went to a place in a field, and the woman sat down. And he began to preach the gospel to her. I explained everything. That was it. He said the Lord used to appear to her in a dream and used to talk to her. So finally he said, don't worry, one of my friends will come and talk to you. Which one of them? So that guy just showed up in the dream. He said, that's him. When you see him, I talk to him. So one day he just went to the market. Now I see the man who came to market also. That's why he started running after him. You, stop. I know you. As a matter of fact, God is in Nineveh. If you believe that, say amen. He's there. You know, you'll be amazed at what he's doing. As a man I know, I read also inside that book, he goes to Mecca every year. Always there. He's a Christian. He follows for the Hajj. That is where he preaches his own gospel. As people are milling around, throwing stones, he's there with them. He just tap you. Do you have any problem? They always have a problem. Okay, I can help you out. How do you help me out? I'll pray with you. The person says, oh, thank you. And then he tells the person, listen, no, I want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And they never mind. Right there in the center of Mecca, where it is a crime, punishable by death, to be a Christian. And the signs are there. They let you know. This is the holy land of Islam. If you're not a Muslim, don't come near. No matter what else you are, don't come near. And they put the signs there. He goes all the time. That is his own mission field. He's always there. It's a beautiful book. When I saw the book, I said, so God is actually doing things that, you know, most of us think he's sleeping. Look, talking about Nigeria, I was just telling you earlier, a friend of mine is a pastor there. And it annoys me also. Anytime you hear Christians down south saying that, let's divide the country. So he says, like we were saying earlier, they say as if it's to solve the problem. But if you like divide into two, he says, what even annoys him that divide it for who now? You think the Christians in the north are southerners? That's why you talk like that. That indeed the Christians there, most of them are from there. They are not southerners. So if you divide it, who have you left them for? The last time I was there, at the hotel I stayed in, where they lodged me in, I forgot my phone, so before we came to his house. Anyway, something happened. When we got there, it was a Sunday, after church service. I went back to the hotel to go and pick my phone. So I got there, it was late, and they had not cleaned the room for the day, so I was surprised. I expected I opened the door and the room is very clean already, and it wasn't clean. Very nice hotel. So I think we came back again later. All right. They went after somebody cleaning it. Was a lady. Obviously from there, a Hausa lady from that area. So he was just telling her that, why didn't you clean this room since morning? She said she went to church. It was a Sunday. She just came back from church. That's why she's reporting to clean late. He was not asking her which church does she go to and all of that. And it struck me again that, you know, you will have assumed that, you know, for those who have not been there, you assume that every person there is a Muslim and all the Christians are from the south. But it is not true. It is absolutely not true. All right? There are many more things that I've discovered over time I could share with you, but it's not my own message for this morning. But just to confirm some of the words that we have heard, and for us to know that indeed the gospel, that's what I began to preach yesterday, is a light. It is a light. It is a way by which God will solve the problem of this earth. God actually is contending for the land. Not just the land of Nigeria, any piece of land you find on this earth, God is contending for it. That is, and he wants us to fight with the truth, not with bow and arrow and gun and no. With the preaching of the truth, the practice of righteousness, and then claim the land for God. That's what he does, all right? The Lord is good. What have I said? The gospel I was saying is the power of God unto salvation, all right? All right, so let me now continue into the main things I was supposed to be teaching. First of all, success is who you are. I'm combining with the fact that character is also all you need. I'm going to read a few scriptures as I begin to teach, and I want you to follow me, please. The Lord is good. Now, I think there's a scripture I want to start with. When Paul was speaking, I didn't have it on my list earlier, but I think that would just be perfect for us to start with that. And that was Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians. Then he said that there are divisions amongst you and all of that. So just quickly open your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Just get the very one I want. From chapter 3. Now the people were divided about which camp each person would be in. Are you of Paul? Are you of Apollos? In verse 5. Okay, let me just read in context. From verse 1, it says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh or carnal people. Verse 2 says, I gave you milk to drink, for you were not able to receive solid food, he was saying. And I said in verse 3, for the reason is because you were still carnal, still fleshly, since there is jealousy and strife among you. Now verse 4 says, I'm jumping now so as to save time. For when one says, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men, that is, walking like mere men? Now please, this is my emphasis, verse 5. What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. I like the words that King James used there, so beautiful. He said, but God gave the increase. And that's so important. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was the one giving the increase. Verse 7 says, so then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth, or God who gave the increase. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one. That is, on the same side, they are the same kind of characters in this scenario. But each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, not according to the fruit. Please notice that carefully. God does not reward you according to the fruit. He rewards you according to what? Your labor. He doesn't care whether it bore fruit or it didn't bear fruit. He rewards you according to your labor. That's why you hear people say that if you are going to heaven, you will take the millions of souls you won with you. No, you go alone. You only, because you can preach to millions of souls and they don't believe. It is not your fault. You get my point? Isaiah preached and preached and preached, and nobody believed him. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, nobody believed him. Do you blame them? No. And God says to Jeremiah, their blood is not on your head. So God rewards you that you tried. God rewards you that you went. Jonah that was complaining, the one we have been hearing about, that the people are wicked, they are this, God do that, now, those kind of things. God didn't say, go and convert them. He said, go there and just say something. When you finish saying it, go away. It is not your business what happens. And that was what he refused to do. And that's one of the things I want to explain as we are going on. Oftentimes we think we need all the methods of doing things and getting results. You mentioned earlier about motivational speaking. And once when I used to teach on radio, that is before the radio station went down in Enugu, and I still teach on radio now, but the ministry pattern has changed slightly. Then I used to teach what I called the way of success. And many of you may have heard it broadcast that time. And it used to motivate a lot of people. So once I went to preach somewhere, they said, let's welcome. And I saw that they printed a bulletin and they wrote on it, motivational speaker. All right? I saw it. I didn't say anything. When they gave me the microphone, I said, everybody, put up your bulletin. If you have it, say amen. They all say amen. I said, open to the page where my picture and my profile was. I said, take your pen. They didn't know what I was. I said, you see that word, motivational speaker? Cancel it. I said, cancel it. I said, in Jesus' name, I'm not a motivational speaker. If you are motivated by my words, good. Some people are condemned by them. Yes, if you don't like righteousness, if you don't follow the way of God, you will be condemned by them. I said, I just speak the truth. Okay? It motivates some people. Quite all right. And like I said, that how do you want to motivate a dead man to walk? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. A man is dead. Talk to him from now to tomorrow. He's only going to decay. He's not going to walk. But there's a power of life that can impart life to the dead. I said, that is the one I'm in. So if you're encouraged by the word, thank you. But please do not give me that bad name, motivational speaker. They all laughed that day, but I insisted on it. They all canceled it from their bulletin. And I want everybody, never address me as a motivational speaker. That is not what I am. I just preach the gospel. Many people have been motivated by them, but I know of people I heard of that when I start talking, they get up and get away. Not because they believe more than I do, they're just offended by the truth. Yes. All right. Now I'm going somewhere with all of that talk, and that's the fact that you cannot, by methods, get results. The only thing we do by Christian methods is get obedience. I don't know whether you get how I said it there. That is, what we are supposed to do is do what? Obey. Then God brings forth his fruit. Look at Jonah's story. When Jonah finally agreed to go to Nineveh, he was hoping that they will die. Because he prophesied, 40 days hence, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And he was really waiting for the destruction of that place. In fact, if they had to intercede, he would have interceded for rapid destruction. 40 days plus 1 minute. Let fire and brimstone rain upon the place. But he was surprised that fire did not rain, brimstone did not rain, nothing happened. If anything, there was increase, prosperity. But you know, he was not inside the city, he was far. He was watching. So when 40 days passed, 50 days passed, I don't know how many days he stayed there, he got angry. He said, look at it, this was why he didn't want to come in the first place. What am I trying to say? The man was not trying to get the results of repentance. But he did not realize that once you obey God, he does his work. Do you get my point? So God commanded him, just go there and talk. Leave the rest to me. And that's what Paul was saying. I planted, Apollos watered. God was the one that was causing the growth. And that is the reason why God does not reward anybody for the fruit. He rewards you for what? The labor. And that is the labor of obedience. If he says go there, go there. If he says come back, come back. While you were there, what does it? Should he say I should sweep? Okay, you finish sweeping. What is the result of the sweep? I don't know. They just said I should sweep. I have swept and I have come back as I was commanded. So that's what Paul wrote. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, God was causing the growth. And that's why I tell people all the time, if you're a believer, be careful that you just obey that which you know. And don't worry about this one gets results. If you've listened to my messages, that's one thing I don't agree with Christians about. This one is working. I said, what do you mean by it's working? Is it the word of God? I don't care whether it works or not. Because you go and read the scriptures. Even God said that, listen, I will still bless Ishmael. But was Ishmael the will of God? I said, Christians must be careful to make sure that their lives are the lives of Isaac. Just because Ishmael, because after Abraham prayed for Ishmael, God said, okay, don't worry about Ishmael. He will live. He won't die. And I will also increase him. He will have seven princes will come out of him and all of that. But he said, but my covenant I will establish only with who? Isaac. And the lives of believers are supposed to be the lives of Isaac. That is, I'm not saying that this doesn't work or this one works. I said, listen, no, as believers, we obey the truth. That is why, you know, you were saying, sir, earlier about those who come looking for where money will be plenty. Those who go around raising money, you know, trying to get Christians to drop money. And this is, there's nothing wrong with Christians giving money. It's very, in fact, not that, that's, there's nothing wrong. No, that to say there's nothing wrong is bad. Let me say like, it is important that Christians give. I wrote a book on it. I don't know whether it's out there. If it's out there, I beg all of you to please try and get a copy. It's titled, So Who Will Pay For This? That is the title of the book. So Who Will Pay For This? I rushed the book out because I was going for some of my brethren were gathering, so I wanted it out before then. So the number of serious typographical errors, including wrongly quoted scripture. You see Exodus 34, I mean, it was supposed to be 24, you know, stuff like that, just a mistake. But the truth inside it is complete. Just the next edition will pull out all those typographical errors. But I was rushing it out. That's why we made those mistakes. But please, read the book. I really encourage you to read it. I tell you, so who will pay for this? And what I tried to do in the book was to let Christians get a balance, all right? Now, I'm not talking about that now. But why I refer to it is that where I disagree with a lot of people who raise money and they look, they're always trying to say that if you give now, I swear to you, by next week, God will bless you. You know, it gets me offended. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's not good. I don't see why on earth Christians will just give because they want God to bless them next week. If you want blessing next week, ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. All right? Ask. Ask, you shall receive. And your next week shall be full. You understand what I'm saying? If you want it by next week, ask. But what do we give is a matter of obedience. Do you understand? Whoever gives to a prophet because he's a prophet, he gets his own portion of the prophet's reward. That's what Jesus Christ said. The Shunammite woman was not looking for anything. She just wanted to honor the man. They say, I perceive that this man that goes by us is a holy man of God. Let us respect the holiness. And Elisha prophesied, and she conceived and gave birth to a son without faith. When the boy died, at that time her faith had been gingered. She ran to go and meet the man of God. The man of God laid hands, sent Gehazi with the anointing. Gehazi, nobody was giving offering, so Gehazi could not operate that one. You know Gehazi now. Uh-huh. But finally he came by himself, you know the rest of the story. But the point I'm trying to bring out is the fact that this woman was not looking for anything per se. So people go around telling me stories. One woman gave one this one, and God this one. This person gave this one, and God this one. And this person gave this one. And use that for motivation for Christians to give. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. Because we are not here to discuss this thing works. It's not what works. Is it written? So I tell people that we walk by according to what is recorded. We walk according to the instructions given in the Word of God. When you go and read Philippians chapter 4, when Paul was talking about how those guys gave money to him, you will notice that he was careful to say things. They said, you have rekindled your love for me. And those guys did what they did because they loved him. He said, I remember when I started preaching this gospel, nobody communicated with me in the matter of giving and receiving apart from you alone. The people loved Paul. They loved the work he was doing. And he said to them clearly, God will reward you abundantly. But I say to people, God always rewards your motive, not the cash. It's a motive. He said, if you give money, you get money. I said, it's not true. Money is not a spiritual substance. It's a physical substance. So it does not work on that field. Money for money only works in the bank, only works in the market. Because every seed has its own field. You cannot give corn and expect corn. You plant corn, that's when you expect corn. So why do you think you will give money and get money? It is what spiritually, what God sees is what that money is carrying. And Jesus said it like that. Say, he that sows mercy, I'm using the word sow now, shall obtain what? Mercy. He that honors me, I will what? Honor. Honor can be money. Do you know my point? Mercy can show up as money. But what God sees is what? Mercy. So when he wants to repay you, He converts the mercy to what you need at that time. So Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs, not all the money that you give. If God wants to do this, give, and he knows how he does it, you can give money and he gives you divine health. God knows how to. No, don't think this God doesn't think. It's not a machine. No. It's not a computer. You press the right buttons. No. He can read your heart. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind before I reward any man for what he thinks he's doing. I check. If you are giving because of yourself, you ain't getting anything. He said, he that sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap what? Corruption. That's what the Bible says. You must understand it. God reads the heart. He checks. He said, oh boy, I need something. What are you going to do now? I'm going to go give. God said, you are not giving, you are investing. And God loves a cheerful giver, not the cheerful investor. There's a world of difference. Christians must have the right motivation. You hear stories like the one we are hearing now, and your heart is moved. Are you getting my point? That is a good cause for giving, not because you're broke. You give whether you have, whether you don't, that is, if you don't have an abundance, out of the little you have, you can give from it. But what is it that's pushing you to give so that you could get more? If it's like that, you are an investor, you love yourself, and you will not be blessed. But because you love the work of God, you love the fact that the gospel of God has to spread, God will bless you. That's what Paul said, that, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Not according to the amount of cash you release, though. Many people's giving this is not motivated by love at all. It's motivated by self-interest. I need a new cow. Let me sew the old one. Yeah, Jaguda. Okay, exactly. Somebody said, only Buruku. Yes, you are selfish. If you did not need a new car, you wouldn't give out the old one. Is that good? If you were God, would you give to you? Think about it. Something happened in my house once. It was very, very funny. It was very, very funny. I have a number of children. Two of them are very close to each other in age, just a year apart, a boy and a girl. All right? That's my second and my third. So once, their mother bought them ice cream and shared out to them. And I met the little girl. I said, give me your ice cream now. Give me from your ice cream. Was it ice cream or drink? Anyway, they were drinking something. So she said, she looked at me like this, like, daddy, like, what are you up to? She said, no. So, and it was a drink, yes. And I turned to to her brother. I said, yeah, Oluji, can I have your, let me drink from your drink now. He handed it to me. This happened like almost 2 years ago. And that means that, let me just give you your age so that you'll be able to put it in perspective. At that, what year are we now? 2013? Okay, 2011. The older one will have been like 6. The smaller one, 5. All right? So, and that's the boy, the older one. And I told the boy, please, can I have your drink? So he just handed it to me. So the sister said, you give daddy your drink, he will finish it though. Then he turned and said, let him finish it. He's my daddy and I love him. I was moved. I said, Olubinga, a bowl of ice cream for you after church. Maybe like the next day. The sister turned around and handed me the drink. I said, I don't want. This is a Pentecostal offering. I said, this one is a Pentecostal offering. I don't want it. That statement hit me. Matter of factly, there was no more discussion than what I told you now. This is, I said, you gave your dad, you gave daddy a drink, you finish it though. And the boys just turned to her and said, let him finish it. He's my daddy and I love him. He can finish my drink if he wants. That's what he was saying. The thing hit me seriously. I said, don't worry. For this seed that you have sown, are you getting what I'm saying? I said, a whole bowl of ice cream is for you alone. The sister said, the breakthrough came to the widow of Zarephath when she gave. Are you saying the way Pentecostal has risen? He said, here, I hereby sow my own seed, and I have the mind of God. I said, this one is a Pentecostal offering. I will not receive it. In case you do not know, that's how God reasons. He sees it. He sees it. Don't let's think he doesn't see it. He sees it. He sees all these things that we do that we call Christianity. He knows it's a joke. I give because I need. I'm not giving because somebody else needs. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says give because you need. Don't worry, read my book, So We'll Pay for This and Grace to Prosper. I discuss those things in details. I'm ready to let anybody sit down there. Let's talk about it. He said, well, he said, give and it shall be given to you. I said, there's a difference between give and it shall be given and give so that it will be given. Give and it shall be given is a principle. That is, every gift has its reward. It's a principle. It's a principle. It was not a motivation for selfish people. It was an encouragement for good people. Are you getting my point? You said the widow of Zarephath gave only one offering and her breakthrough came. I said, if you believe that, you've not read the Bible very well. What do I mean? Ask yourself, how did Elijah get there? Did you know that Elijah wasn't stumbling around? Elijah was looking for her. God said to her, to him, I have prepared a widow there to take care of you. And the man traversed the whole of Israel, left the territory of Israel, went to Zarephath in Sidon, and was looking for the one woman. The question we should always ask is, why did God go through that? We make it look as if the woman was going on the road, and then one hungry prophet who did not know about her, they stumbled into each other and just said, give me something right now, and God will break through upon you. We preach all kinds of messages. $120 for 12 kinds of offering before get breakthrough. Somebody said Solomon gave what's the name of that woman that gave Solomon something? The Queen of Sheba, thank you. Gave Solomon 120 talents of gold, and Solomon gave her everything she wanted. Said, now you will give God 120,000 naira, and God will give you anything you want. That's a very silly motivation for giving if you're a Christian. If you want anything, pray like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. That's all. But why do we give to God? We give to God because it is right. We give because we are givers. We are like our Father. He said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is what? Perfect. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. So anything our Heavenly Father does, we want to copy. The primary work of Christianity, the primary core of everybody, that's where I began this from, is not to get results, it's to be like the Father. Anything we are doing, we are just obeying the word of God. We are being like Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of his nature. And when he came to the earth, he said, when he came to the time of the cross, he said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no. But for this cause, I came to this hour. And the reason I'm saying all of these things. So this one get results, this one get results. That's not what we're talking about. Is it truth? Is it the word of God? Is it the doctrine of righteousness? If it is, we follow it. And if we follow it, now I'm back to where I began from. If we follow it, God will bring forth results in his season. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? You know, most of us here know the largest church, you know, the way we talk about churches, the largest single church in the world. Where is it? South Korea. Seoul, South Korea. Thank you. And what's the name of the pastor? David Yonggi Cho. I don't know their population now, but some time ago, they were up to 1 million people in one church. When I was reading his books that time, there were 700,000 members of one church. Not one denomination. One church. You understand what I'm saying? The whole of Onitsha are going to one church. Do you get what I'm saying? They used to hold, 12 services. They started on Saturday evening and finished Sunday evening. That is, they had many centers with large screens. The pastor is in one major center. There are many viewing centers all around. And people will queue to enter into the church. And many Christians, at least then when I was studying those things, he said that he started learning the principles of church growth. In fact, the man started a ministry called Church Growth International. How to grow your church. All American pastors will go there. Nigerians too began to learn it. We tried, you know, there are some things, as a young believer there, I'll be watching it, I hear some of these things are out of order. You shouldn't tell me this is how churches grow. It doesn't make sense. Man will say, if your church wants to grow, you will pray 10 hours a day. I say, oh God, I am not praying 10 hours a day. I have other things to do. No, you know that, me, if you know the kind of person I am, I'm not very spiritual, though. Some will say, you fast 40 days. I said, lie, God forbid. I didn't kill anybody. In case I did, I will confess my sin. Forgiveness is not predicated upon fasting. It's upon repentance and confession. I'm going to refer to John chapter 1. So you fast 40 days, bros, you're on your own. He said, in the Bible, I said, who fasted 40 days in the Bible that you know? Name one. They said Moses. Moses was in the front of God. If you did front of God, you go fast for 1 year too. Me, I did my house. I'm not joining. Thank you. I'm telling you. He said, Elijah. I said, Elijah. Which Elijah? Elijah will see, what do you call it? Jezebel run. He not fast any 40 days. He was hungry. That angel will come off chop. He lay down again. The angel said, get up, eat some more, for the journey is long. And the Bible said he went in the strength of that meal for 40 days to Horeb, the mountain of God. If you give me angel food, I will run to Lagos. From here, 500 kilometers, I will make it. But on this bread and upa where I chop, lie, I cannot make 40 days, forget it. People were coming with all kinds of things. I was just looking, I said, this cannot be true. I had enough understand that these things don't work like that. I'm going somewhere in all of these things. They tried all kinds of methods. Some say it's home cell system. I look here and say, well, you can do home cell if it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I wasn't a pastor of a church. But that is not the reason it happened. I'm going somewhere. I now found out later that long before Young Icho came on the scene, the assemblies of God people were there. They had been praying. Are you getting my point? They had been sowing seeds, preaching and preaching house to house. When the harvest was ready, God sent one man. Everything he did now is not a principle. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was a time that he came. When the harvest was ready, that was when the man showed up. If he had come with those same principles 80 years before, he wouldn't pastor bigger churches than those men who were there. That is why, and it's in the Bible, Jesus said, other men labored, but you have entered into their labor. That is, you see, your harvest is easy. It is not because you know how to do it. It's because Paul planted. And that's Apollos, water. Then God gave the increase. Then he now said, Peter, harvest. Are you getting my point? When we are seeing Peter harvest, he now comes with a fine suit and says, principles of increase. No, you only know principles of harvest. You did not plant. You did not water. You came to the scene at the time of harvest. Are you seeing? That's why God rewards each man according to his labor. That is why. Because what brought the increase, nobody really knows. All we know is what we, each person, was supposed to do. And we are rewarded for doing it. That's the point I am trying to emphasize. You will go as a missionary to some places. You will labor for years. You may not see the kind of increase you expected, which you had back home. Are you getting my point? Don't worry about it. You just happen to be the seed sower and maybe a bit of watering. But that seed is being sown. It may be in 40 years' time that one small boy with one tiny anointing will just come. I have come here today. Who wants to believe? 2,000 people will give their life to Christ once. And somebody says, you see, don't mind that man who came 40 years ago. He didn't know this thing. They won't know. The only reason 2,000 people can believe once was because that man came 40 years ago. These boys now grew up in school with the name of Jesus in their ears. Their parents have been teaching them. So all their sinful life becomes nothing but backsliding. So when you now make an altar call, the Jesus is no longer new to them. I hope you understand that. Why? Because somebody sowed a seed long ago. You know, God is always working. Let's never think that he has lost. He doesn't lose. No, he doesn't lose. He does not lose. He doesn't. He doesn't. That's why each person, that's why this whole thing is about. Each person just be encouraged to do his own thing. That's all. Obey God the much that is revealed to you. You'll be surprised at what he will do with it. You know, look at Nigeria as an example. And I'm talking about this Paul planting and Apollos watering. And God being the one that gives the increase. We pray for this country all the time. But I also say there's another aspect of it. When Daniel and co prayed, Daniel specifically, and then God mobilized Cyrus to come and effect the result of the prayer, that oftentimes we also might need to do the work of God in different areas. That's why I wrote the book, How to Work for God. That's my favorite book, How to Work for God. I'm emphasizing to people that there are different fields in life which God called each one of us into. Now, there's one I want to use as an example again. Take this politics as an example. God called some Christians to be governors, senators, local government chairmen, House of Rep members, you know, state house members. But most Christians will tell you that it's dirty. They don't have time for it. I also say to them, don't worry about that. If you feel a calling, just go and do what you are supposed to do. If they say obtain form, obtain the form. Say, what if I don't win? Do they send people to prison for obtaining form? No. Then you go home. But you'll be amazed that a time will come when God wants to give the increase, he needs it to be there so he can give that increase through you. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
It's so crucial we get this point that the word grace, the word grace, it doesn't just mean unmerited favor in the fact that we don't know, favor just came. If you check the scriptures, grace actually means the power of God working towards those who believe. Grace is divine assistance to get results. Grace is when God's angels are there with you, you throw a stone at Goliath, he punctures his head. Just a stone. Do you understand my point? But as you sling it, one angel pushes it further, drives it into his head. Why? Because you obeyed the word of God because of love for God, love for righteousness. Grace is when God gets the results, all right? Brings forth results in your life because you are obedient to his word, you are obedient to his will. Grace is activated by obedience. Paul said it like this, it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. If it's not by faith, it's not in accordance with grace. Grace is not just chance occurrence. No, grace is that when people believe God, they obey God, they move when God says move, they do what is right according to the teaching of the word of God. Any result God brings into their life is called grace. That's what it is. Why am I saying all of these things? Because I'm trying to explain a principle about character. You see it in a moment. You see it. Because Pastor Oliver was saying earlier, he said that a lot of people go away from what they are supposed to do because there's better crowd here, there's better money here. So I'm not supposed to be here, but this is where more crowd is, this is where more money is. That's actually when people are departing from grace. They don't realize how God works. Take that Jonah as an example. Maybe he thought he would get more results in Tarshish. For my children, I used to make that in a joke in the house. So, where are you going? Are you going to Tarshish or going to Ninibi? My son will make a joke. Daddy, he has gone to Tarshish. There was a time it was a joke in our house. Because my wife used to teach them Bible stories and all of that. So that Jonah case was a Bible story at the time. So Tarshish became an issue in the house to express disobedience. This boy has gone to Tarshish. Because he thinks results will come quicker. But this is the funny part. The Nineveh that he refused to go to, where he finally went grudgingly, did you see how the results came? He did not believe that that kind of thing could happen. If you read this book, Final Quest by Rick Joyner, Rick Joyner says that according to his visions, that man was the most powerful prophet of the Old Testament, Jonah. A man who will speak and the whole city will come to its knees. But it's obvious he did not even know it himself. Yes. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to us. Let's just obey God. Don't worry about the results. Don't worry about it. Be concerned about, is it right? Is it proper order? That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, that word righteousness, means following his proper order. That is, seek first the kingdom of God. How do we seek it? By seeking the proper order of his kingdom, by aligning our lives to his proper order. Say, all other results shall be added. Are you getting the way I'm modifying it? Unto you. Results are added. They are not labored for. Obedience is what we labor for. Paul said it like this. Labor to enter into the rest. He said they could not enter because of what? Disobedience. So the labor is the labor of obedience, not the labor of results. How do I get results? It's simple. Any result I want in life, I pray about it. I ask God about it. Then I start doing what is right. And then start leading me in the path of righteousness so that his name may be glorified in the coming of that result. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. We are talking about our lives as Christians, as ministers, missionaries, business people, as leaders. And what I want to emphasize, like that my second topic says, character is all you need. And then to say all of this for us to know that we don't struggle to bring results into our lives. We allow God bring the results into our lives. That's my first point. Now, there's a scripture I want us to read. That's what we should open to. Okay, we read one. Yes. Now, this one I want to read. In fact, I want to explain a principle to us, talking about this character thing. And what I want to explain is the principle that there are three phases in life. There is a stage of calling. God calls you. There's a stage of choosing. God chooses. And then there's a third stage most people are not careful to note. And that is stage of establishing. That is, a man is called, a woman is called. Or no, people are called. And some are chosen. Amongst those who are chosen, even fewer are established. And you'll see something as I'm going, I just want to bring out. You know, there's a young man who does some work. The other day, my friend and I were discussing, said, this boy is very, very good. And someone now said, now listen to this, I'm putting many stories together. Someone now said that he will go very far in life. And I said, there's no guarantee. Are you following what I'm saying? That what decides whether he will go far or not is not how skilled he is. Is the kind of character he has. I said, gifts don't make a man. Character does. Listen, this is how it works. I now talked about one furniture man who used to do some things for me. I said, that fellow is very skilled. But last I knew of him, he was very broke. I didn't have work again. When analyzing why, I just look at his life. I said, basically, he has no respect for people. I said, that was my own estimate of it. And he did not know how to I was not a man of his word. I said, what that has done for him now is that he has made him a failure, even though he's a very skilled man. One of my senior colleagues the other day, we were talking. He talked about one footballer he knew in Benin there. He said, J.J. Okocha, that was when Okocha was a reigning thing. He said, J.J. Okocha is an amateur player where this boy is. That the boy could play ball. That this boy could see him with football. But the boy was in Benin there. Why? He said, because Indian hemp smoking won't let his head be straight. That is, with all the skill he had, he didn't make one. No team in Nigeria itself even employed him. Not to even talk about international. So maybe you saw him playing when he was young and said, man, this boy will go far. He can play. Many people have played before him. They did not go far. And the greatest basketballer America has ever seen, by their own admission, is Michael Jordan. But when he first started playing, the coach that saw him said, this boy does not know how to play. Yet, he became the greatest basketballer they ever saw. It was not just inherent skill that made him. He had a character, all right, in that area that made him able to come out when others were going down. It's important we understand. That's what I want to try and explain. That gifts don't make a man. It is not the most anointed prophets or preachers that you hear of. It's the ones that are disciplined and are ready to wait for God to do things in their lives. Those are the ones that make it, in quotes, if I may use that expression, in ministry. If you read this book, The Happiest People on Earth, by Demos Shakarian, the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International, you will notice there, he described the story of one 30-something-year-old preacher he met, who was the most anointed man he ever knew. That the fellow, I think he had some issues. No, maybe I think he said he had one leg or something. Maybe he had a problem with his leg. But he said this young man was so anointed. He was... That the laying hands on the sick, getting healed, small things. Fill the place up for him. The boy will pray for everybody. Everybody will get well. He said, but he noticed something about that fellow. His eyes never left the money. When I read the book, Happiest People on Earth by Demos Shakarian, I'm quoting the story from it. That the man seemed concerned all the time about the offering. When they are taking offering now, in they look whether the money they plenty and... That was going to happen to that money after. You know, he's concerned. He said he knows that this fellow is always so concerned about money. So one day he sat in there and explained to him, sir, this is how the money matter is. I organize this meeting. I gather many churches. They come to a town. He gathers many churches around. He organizes. He said, having done that, I normally paid the initial bills from my pocket. Then when we take offerings, if the offerings can cover the bills, we'll use the offering to settle all the bills. If the money is not enough, I pay the balance. If the money is excess, we carry the excess and share it to all the churches that participated in the meeting. As for the preacher, on the last day, we take a special offering for the preacher. So people give from their hearts to the man of God. And I can't remember this side now, but I know Demos Shakarian, if he feels the money is not enough, he will have added again by himself. He said he explained this thing to the man, hoping the man will rest. He said the man didn't seem to come to, he wasn't able to come to rest. Then the final day of the meeting, the man was staying in his house. So they were cooking for him, taking good care of him. He wasn't paying any expenses. He didn't put any money into the meeting. He said, but the last day of the meeting, the man took 2 hours collecting offering. That he seemed to, he was waiting for everybody's pocket to be empty before he would go. He will preach, you know, you've heard those kind of messages. You are going to give a special offering right now, that as you are giving it, you say, God, this is my Isaac. I'm about to lay it on your altar. And die tomorrow. God is going to resurrect Ishmael for you. You know, those kind of promises that God did not make. Imam made them. He said, even if you have given before, you'll come again and say, God, I love you. He said, the man took 2 hours collecting money. Okay? By the time the money was set, the ushers went to carry the money. He quickly closed the meeting and ran after them. Where's my money? Where's my money? They said, you're not the one that organized the meeting. He said, listen, my friend, this is my money. All of you are very stupid people. He told them straight. He told them as I came to his face, that you are a fool. He said it. Those are the words he used. That you are a fool. That you see this kind of meeting going on. You don't know how to connect exactly. To provoke the people to release. You are just wasting it. And this is the point. This is a man who had been laying hands on the sick. They were getting healed. The number of people that gave their lives to Christ in that meeting, Demo Shakarin had never seen. Anointed. He said, but this man loved money. So that day, he carried, by the time Demo Shakarin got back home, the guy had packed his things and gone. He gathered all the money. He said, he suddenly showed up with 2 bags. He didn't know where the bags came from. He was using 2 hands to scoop all the offering into it. At the end, he carried the money and abused all of them and left. In fact, he said his brother-in-law was so angry, if I learned a lesson from it, that he grabbed the man's hand, wanted to collect the money back from him by force. He said he just heard somebody say, leave him. They realized he was the one that said it. He grabbed his brother-in-law and said, leave him. Let him take the money. He said what he was thinking of was simple. He's God's anointed. Forget this nonsense he's doing. God will take care of him. You don't put your hand on the man of God. Let him go. I learned that lesson that day. So let him go. This is his story. 5 years later, is it 3 years later or 5 years later? He was in his office when the same man came inside to see him. He said, when you see him, you knew that he was broke. He looked hungry. He had not shaved. Nothing looks normal for him. So he told one long story of hard luck, how things went bad and all of that. What do you want? Say, he needed some money. People like that always need money. He needed some money to get to the next place where he's going. Dr. Shakira said he packed some money. Yeah, it was a wealth to do man. He gave him enough money to do many things. He allowed him to go. 2 years later or 3 years later, he heard that the man was dead. He was 40-something. The story is that this was a heavily anointed man. I read the scriptures, I realized that gifts don't make a man. It's character that does it. Character is what allows you to endure. Gifts can bring you out. Hey, everybody say, man, this guy is too much. Man, this guy, have you heard him sing? As one musician, because these things are recorded, so I want to minimize how I call names that are not complimentary. One very famous musician in Nigeria at that time. He sang, the whole nation was following him. In fact, a friend of mine who knew something about him said it was a prophet that told him to leave where he was and go to Lagos or something. And that was from where he connected and he became world famous from Nigeria here. He said, now, from what I heard, among secular musicians, he's still respected till today, even though he doesn't sing anymore. That when you see him walking on the street sometimes, you wonder whether he's crazy. So musicians, you know, all these big musicians, they see him, stop him, you know, give him money, you know, try and be nice to him. Before he came to this level, of course, he's going older and older by the day. I'm sure he'll be in his 50s now. But he said, of course, that time, if I mention his name, all of you will know instantly. You know what I'm talking about instantly, all right? I just want to bring out the name so it doesn't go on record. Now, my friend was telling me that I met another friend who his company was managing him at the time. He said, this fellow is too indisciplined. That they will pay him. Now, listen, when I was working for 6,000 naira a month, they will pay him 200,000 naira a night to play. And this was after he done reco, you know what I mean? Like, he had gone, after when he went abroad, in Nigeria, he was smoking wee wee. If you are smoking Indian hemp, please stay on that level, low. If you go beyond that, see, if you smoke Indian hemp, you're likely to go crazy, all right? But let us assume your brain is very strong. You don't go crazy. Please just stay on that level. If you're not planning to repent, that's why I'm just begging you.